Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato and Barry Trammell after the Thunder's 118-112 win over the Los Angeles Clippers. First, let's get a few caveats out of the way. No Kawhi Leonard, because it was the second night of back-to-back for the Clippers. No Patrick Beverley. He had a groin injury. And no Danilo Gallinari for the Thunder. So evening things out a little bit with a defensive player in Patrick Beverley and an offensive player in Danilo Gallinari. But know that Kawhi Leonard was not on the floor. We haven't seen Paul and Kawhi play together against this Thunder team. So who knows what that would look like. But the Thunder did a great job on Paul George.
Yeah, they really did. And, like, what a fun game that was. Like, there was so much build-up coming into this one because of the Paul George reunion game, even after a two-year stay. But it definitely lived up to it. I mean, it started in pregame introductions. Paul George was overwhelmingly – it was a positive response for him.
Yeah, no, and you wrote that story about how fans would receive him and talk to a bunch of fans, and tell us your findings, which ended up not.
Yeah, the findings were a little off. The exit polling wasn't accurate. I would say for the most part, people said, you know, we should be thankful for him, but also a lot of people were like, I don't really care. He was only here for 2 years. They were thankful of. The players that the Thunder got back in that huge trade. But a lot of them said probably clap and, you know, be nice to him in the pregame introductions. But once the game starts, once he's handling the ball, probably some boos.
Did not hear any.
Did not happen today. I mean, I'm sure someone out there booed, but.
But not close enough for us to hear it.
And never like a majority of the fans.
Yeah, no. I think part of that, too, was led by the Thunder because it wasn't just a regular, like, run through the lineup. He got a please welcome back to Oklahoma City, Paul George. And then Patrick Patterson also got a big ovation too, which was fun.
Yeah, for reasons that remain a mystery. He made two of his first three shots, I think, both threes. And the consensus was, thanks, Patrick, that would have been nice the last 2 years. But I actually think the reception for PG was fueled a little bit by our own St. Joe. The stories he did, the stuff he got from fans, because, as you said, the majority of the fans said, hey, we're going to thank this guy. Look at all we got for him.
So and people didn't have to feel guilty.
So people could read that and say, you know what, you're right. And this idea that, you know, just because he wanted a trade, Kevin Durant never asked for a trade, and then he left the Thunder high and dry. And Paul George asked for a trade, and didn't leave the Thunder high and dry. So asking for a trade is not the it seems like bad business, but it's actually does the team a favor, does the franchise a favor.
The one difference, though, would be that he had several more years left on his deal. So if he hadn't asked for a trade, he would have been here for a few more. But, I mean, he re-signed with the Thunder. He could have left in free agency after that first year, and he decided to stay. We've hashed all this out. Welcome back, Paul George. Good to see you.
It was a rude good to see you that Terrence Ferguson gave him once the game started.
Indeed.
Because, I mean, it was, you know, you mentioned Kawhi was out. I have no idea how they defend this team if both of those guys are there, because you need two Terrence Fergusons. But there was only one of them tonight and one of Terrence Ferguson, so it worked out well. And he just the way that, like, Steven Adams and Chris Paul and Abdul Nader talked about him in the postgame locker room, like, every night he's guarding the best perimeter offensive player for the opposing team, did so tonight against Paul George, and they talked about him sacrificing his offense, not caring how he's involved on that end. But you look, and Paul George was 6 of 17, 2 of 5 from 3, and Terrence Ferguson received the bulk of that work on him.
Yeah, which I honestly was – I thought that they'd do more of a by-committee approach. And really the only time that they did that was when Terrence Ferguson was kind of in foul trouble in that third quarter. He picked up his fourth foul early on, and so he sat for a good chunk of that. And in his absence, you had guys like Chris Paul and Shea doing a good job filling in, and Dennis Schroeder, when he switched on to Paul, was good. But so guarding Paul George is a very tiring task, and Terrence Ferguson did it for 28, almost 29 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, he set the tone, I thought, for the whole defense, because it wasn't just George. Paul George was 6-17. Lou Williams had a really slow start. Now, he came on in that fourth quarter, but he was 7-20. Montrezl Harrell, 8-17. If you can hold all three of those guys below 50% shooting, which the Thunder did tonight, you're in really good shape.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, I thought, you know, early in the game, the Thunder got hit with a barrage from the Clippers. I think they made five of their first seven threes, or maybe six of their first eight. And it was 14-10 Thunder, and then the Clippers scored 13 points on five possessions, 15 points on six possessions, take a 25-16 lead. And they really just had trouble stopping them. But after that, I thought the defense was pretty good all night. People like Bazley played solid defense. Chris Paul is always getting in somebody's way. Steven Adams neutralized Zubac and really was the only resistance to Montrezl Harrell, who is a total load. So I thought it was a very good defensive game, even though it ends up, you know, Clippers score 112. The Thunder made him work. Lou Williams scored, but what defense? He didn't shoot a very good percentage. 7-20, so you can live with that. So I thought it was a pretty good defensive performance overall by the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Darius Bazley. He had two steals within about a minute of each other, both kind of disrupting what Paul George was doing. It was one of his, I'd say, probably best defensive games this season.
Yeah, and he was thrown into it all of a sudden. Danilo Gallinari was scratched just before the game. We were surprised sitting there like, okay, what's going on? Darius Bazley starting. It was his second.
Right, because we already had the starting lineups, and it was like, oh,
yeah, Gallinari was
old
on
hat,
it.
Gallinari yeah. starting. And then we get to the announcements, and the first guy is Darius Bazley, and we're all like, what? I'm sorry. <Yeah. laughs> This is news.
Yes, very, very much so, and it kind of followed that Utah game, which Danilo Gallinari missed. Darius Bazley, I think that was his first career start in that game, and tonight was his second. But you know what you're going to give up in that matchup. You're definitely sacrificing offense for defense. But Darius Bazley, probably these last three or four games, he's come on so strong defensively, getting blocks on not just at the rim but on jump shots, getting out on perimeter shooters, and also hanging tough inside. So, yeah, I think it's one of his better games of the year.
And he within the first few possessions, he had a massive dunk in transition. It was like, oh, okay. Darius Bazley is ready to go. And really, the paint was where the Thunder was able to make up some, because the Clippers shot better from three. They shot almost 41% from three, and so the Thunder made up some of that ground in the paint and outscored the Clippers 60-40.
Yeah, which is, you know, a little surprising. We haven't always seen that. But when you've got guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder getting to the rim, Steven Adams had a very quiet – well, I mean, he was good tonight. I shouldn't say quiet, but 20-17, like, that just really pops off. But
there was one point where he – like, it looked like he was going to get, like, over 20 rebounds.
Well, and I thought he had a very strong game, even defensively. He had three steals. He pilfered, I think twice he pilfered the ball from Paul George when Paul drove the lane. So, when Adams plays like that, Thunder's in pretty good shape because they got an excellent game from SGA. Chris Paul ended up, you know, having an okay game offensively. Schroeder gets hot and dominates the game. And so at center, Noel and Adams combined for 28 points on 14 of 20 shooting. So that's not bad.
Nope. Pretty efficient. You mentioned Shea. Ties his career high.
From two nights ago.
From two nights ago. He just keeps adding them up. So 32 points again tonight.
Yeah, it's like, what, maybe five or six career highs so far this season.
Like, it's gotten to the point where you just know his career high because it happened so recently. Like, there was he had those first two in the first couple of weeks, and then there was a break, and so it's like, oh gosh, I don't remember what it was. Was it 28? Was it? And now we're right back into knowing exactly what Shea's career high is in points.
Yeah, and you asked Doc Rivers before the game, like, in what ways has he seen him improve? Obviously, Shea played his rookie season in L.A., and he said it's the same Shea. He's just better at everything, and part of it is opportunity. He's playing 35 minutes a game as opposed to 26 last year, but he was averaging 10.8 points per game as a rookie. He's now up to 19 points per game after this 32-point outing tonight.
He seemed more aggressive. Well, clearly, these last two games, he's been more aggressive. You know, Monday, we talked about it. Just 6 days ago, he took three shots the whole dang game in a very tight game, which is nonsense. But he's been very aggressive these last two games. But tonight, it went beyond aggression. It looked to me like he said, hey, this is crunch time. I'm doing well. Give me the ball. I'm ready to make something happen. And I took that as another good sign. So, and shot well, 2 for 3 again from 3-point range and getting the scoop shot going. So everything about SGA is looking good to me.
Yeah, he has been more aggressive, and you can see it in 25 shot attempts. That might be another career high. I need to check on that. But in a day that Paul George returns, obviously, don't need to say this, but Paul George is clearly a superior player. But it's got to make Thunder fans feel happy that on the same night, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is so good.
And Shea's on an uptick in terms of his career trajectory, whereas Paul is probably right around the peak.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a career year with the Thunder last year. He's 28, 29, somewhere in there. He's in his late 20s.
Yeah, and Shea's 21, and now you can see, you know, Doc Rivers has been – it was a game where in November when they played at Staples Center, and Doc said, you know, he was disappointed and sad that they had to include Shea. If you're the Clippers, you do it every time to get a player like Paul George, but he could tell even then the type of player that Gilgeous-Alexander could become, and it's happening maybe faster than a lot of us thought.
Yeah, and Paul George is clearly the superior player, but like I've always said, who's got more NBA chops going forward, SGA or Paul George? I think the answer is SGA. And in some circumstances, you'd have to make that trade straight up. Paul George, I mean, plus Gallinari, plus 5 first-round draft picks makes it a heist for the Thunder. So that's why I was very pleased that George got a nice ovation. I thought that was classy by the fans. So I also thought Paul George was pressing a little bit. He's not the kind of guy you think, you know, when Russell Westbrook comes, he's going to try to he's going to go all Barnum and Bailey on us, you know, try to be the greatest show on earth. There's not any question about that. James Harden did that a lot. Paul George is not the kind of personality you think will do that, but I thought he did some of that tonight, not going crazy, but clearly pressing, wanting to perform well, and he did not play great. He made some poor decisions. He got a little over-aggressive, and so maybe the Thunder used that to their advantage.
He also didn't play well in his first game back in Indiana. Granted, very different. He had a ton of boos. They had people wearing his jersey booing him. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I can't get inside his head. I can't attribute that to him coming back here. But it's – I don't know if two games is a theme, but kind of.
even more so than that, though, just from no matter who they were playing tonight, like you said, Kawhi's not playing on the second night of back-to-backs. Doc Rivers said before the game that, like, he has to press a little bit in games that Kawhi doesn't play just because they don't have as much offense when Kawhi's not on the floor. So I think some of that is just him being the lone superstar out there and not having Kawhi by his side. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't there after the game talking to Paul George. Just what was that? What was that like?
It was very familiar. He always has essentially the same delivery in every scrum setting, and is calm and polite and deliberate in his word choice. And that was exactly how he was tonight.
Yeah, it was. He acted like he just played an exhibition game against Real Madrid or somebody. So, so it was. And he's easy to transcribe. He's a slow talker, which is fantastic. So it did seem like it was old time's sake. So, you know what? One thing that strikes me is you forget. You know, you think Paul George here he's here 2 years, and you think that wasn't very long. But then you're back around the guy, and you remember all the things you knew about him, and it feels like, you know, you covered him for 12 years instead of two. And it's sort of the same feeling like in February when they make trades and somebody starts playing February 11th. And then by April, you can't even remember what life was like without him. It was sort of like – it's sort of the reverse of that. So it was fun having him back in the building. It's even more fun since his good friend Kawhi Leonard didn't play, because Kawhi Leonard would have made life miserable on everybody in Thunder Orange.
Might have been a little more lopsided. But Thunder, another comeback. This time they were down by 18, and the Thunder just found the stat that this is their fourth 15-point comeback this season, which is tied for the lead in the NBA. The Lakers also have four. So that's two things. The positive side is, hey, even when they're down by a lot, they can come back. The negative side is they keep getting down by over 15 points to teams that they can beat.
Yeah, all this week, too.
Oh my gosh,
it's been such a long week. It's been a historic comeback week.
It's really been crazy, though, when you think about it. 26, 24, and 18-point comebacks. This 1 week. Is somebody checking Elias? Somebody told me somebody was checking Elias to see if anything had ever happened like this in the NBA. Three comebacks
in
such a short period of time, a period of four games, right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, everybody but the Suns. So it was good to see that, you know, The one thing I think about this about the Thunder, doesn't take a lot of bad shots. Now,
yep.
Deontay Burton played some tonight, and that's going to test that theory. But, you know, and Abdel Nader is always good for a raised eyebrow or two. But for the most part, Steven Adams doesn't take bad shots. Gilgeous Alexander doesn't take bad shots. Chris Paul doesn't take bad shots. Schroeder every once in a while, but even Schroeder not that often.
And it's only like when he's really getting hot and it's
a heat
check.
Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah, he's losing his mind because things are going. So if you take good shots, your offense is not, you know, you're not going to stay down on offense, I think, is part of the message. So I'm pretty encouraged by that portion of the Thunder.
And they're really doing I think part of that too is that they're really doing a good job making the extra pass. There was one point where Chris Paul kicked it out to Abdel Nader, and he had a pretty good shot, but he immediately made the extra pass to Terrence Ferguson in the corner, who it was really like I thought it was going to go in. It was an in and out sort of thing, but they got a wide open shot to make and all it took was that one little extra pass. Maybe I think it was Terrence. It could have been Shai.
I think it was Terrence. Okay. I think you're cool. Right. Yeah. And I mean, they had 24 assists tonight. Pretty good number for them. And yeah, I hadn't really thought about that before, Barry, about like them not taking a ton of bad shots, but it's got to be, I don't know. I feel like that's a thing you can see in Chris Paul, because Chris Paul never takes bad shots, and he probably doesn't want the guys around him to take bad shots, and he's clearly the leader of this team, and you just don't have a lot of guys playing out of control at times.
Well, and I don't want this to be a gripe session about things that happened in the past, but bad shots are sort of part of the Thunder experience, right? I mean,
yeah.
We don't even gripe about them. We sort of, for 10 years, we sort of lived with them. Even Durant would take some bad shots because he's so dang good he'd make some of them. But when you got Westbrook all that time, you just sort of knew that was sort of the part of it. And now they don't take a lot of bad shots.
Right. You've gone from super high highs and some low lows to just like pretty good.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of pretty good, Thunder is over 500 for the first time this season.
15-14.
As is Billy Donovan with coaches challenges. He's now 5-4. And this one was the best one all year because it really swung momentum.
Yeah, I mean, it totally swung things. So Montrezl Harrell looked like he had an and one. Looked like Nerlens Noel hacked him. It would have put the Clippers ahead 100-94 with 5:35 left. A free throw would have given the Clippers a 7-point lead with 5:35 left. But instead, you not only take those points off the board, but it's now Thunder ball, and then the Thunder outscored them 24-14 the rest of the way. So Billy challenged the call. It ended up being an offensive foul on Montrezl Harrell. And Chris Paul said that he said that was a big call for us. That was his quote after the game. And he talked about what Dennis and Shea did after that. And it clearly swung the momentum.
If you look, so fantastic that they actually keep track of this. But Billy Donovan, by being 5-4 at this point, we'll see how, I mean, obviously very small sample size. But the season total right now, which is not counting tonight's games, but at least as of recently, 45% coaches are winning 45% of challenges.
Really?
Yep.
Well, it's higher than I would have thought.
It's more so, and called fouls, which is what Billy challenged tonight, is the least likely to be overturned. It's at 41%. And out of bounds, most likely, 71%. Goaltending is in the middle at 56%.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I think Billy was fortunate tonight because it was an offensive foul on Harrell, and he cleared out with his arm, but he led with his elbow, and they don't like elbows. People in authority do not like elbows, whether it's referees or whether it's league administrators. If he just led with his forearm, they might said, call stands. But he led, I think it's Noel. Yeah, he led with his elbow into Noel. And I think that was the red flag that caused him to say, hey, let's overturn this.
Yeah, I mean, that was is a big call. I mean, that fourth quarter, I was waiting. You thought the Clippers would take control, and you know, it was such a good environment, I thought, in the crowd tonight. And after that call, the Thunder are just dominating, and I was very surprised of how this one finished.
Dennis Schroeder had a fantastic fourth quarter, and yeah, by the end you had the Clippers fouling the Thunder in order to like try to get back in the game.
Yeah.
Which, if you had told me that was how this game would end at the beginning, I'd been like, wow.
Yep.
Who
this
knew?
Clipper team was 22-9. The Thunder 15-14 now. I mean, they've got a three-game cushion all of a sudden in the playoff standings between where they are and where the ninth seed is right now in Sacramento, which is wild.
I think you're saying that they should just go all in, right? And just trade for a bunch of
that's right. Trade like Shea and Darius Bazley for aging.
Yes.
Stars 100%. On the back end of their careers.
This year is the time.
That's right. That's what Sam Presti would tell you. No, just kidding. Just the opposite.
If you don't understand, that was a joke. All of that was a joke.
I messed up on a joke earlier today. I just tweeted out, Doc Rivers made a joke in his pregame scrum. And he basically was talking about, is this one of the best jobs that Billy Donovan has done coaching? And at the end of his quote of, like, you know, being nice to Billy, he said, and if he would have paid more, he would have got Austin, talking about Austin Rivers, his son. I thought it was very funny. I just put it out there, and all these, like, Kentucky fans, North Carolina fans, they're like, Duke is paying players since they got Austin Rivers. Oh, no. Billy didn't pay him enough, and I had to clarify that it was a joke. So anyway, my sarcasm didn't always come through, so I just wanted to clarify.
Some communication problems via Twitter. Who could have seen it coming? I have no idea how this kind of thing occurs.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's what I want to say about the night.
Yes.
I just thought it was a lot of fun.
It was.
It was just a fun night at the ballpark. I thought it was maybe the best crowd of the year. What do you think?
It was definitely up there.
It's the best crowd of the year because, you know, no matter what anybody says, the crowds are not like they used to be in terms of energy and enthusiasm. And part of that is the lightning rod that Russell Westbrook was. You know, if the crowd had – the crowds never was never poor in the last 10 years. But if it ever had been, Russell would have just called timeout and just run up into the stands and taken care of it. So
no, it was really good tonight. It was really good.
It was really good tonight.
Against, I think it was Philadelphia. I think the Sixers comeback was another one that stands out. But
and the loudest moment might have been the Hail Mary pass to Schroeder in the Minnesota game. But as far as like sustained for one quarter, that fourth quarter tonight might have been the best. Really, it's been I've been stunned at how good it's been all season, even in bad games.
Yeah, so but it was just a fun game because you saw people playing at a high level and come back, and you're playing a team you wanted to beat that's really, you know, quality team. So and lots to get excited about. You know, I think everybody now is on the Thunder bandwagon. You know, just 2 weeks ago, or well, yeah, a little over two weeks ago, even I was torn. I'd be watching the Thunder, and they'd win or make a basket, and I'd think, am I supposed to be happy about them making a basket? Am I supposed to want them to win? I'm unclear on exactly what I'm supposed to be doing here. But those days, the West Coast road trip ended that. When they beat Utah and Portland back-to-back, I said, you know what? This team's pretty good. They're not going to the NBA Finals, but they could have a nice season. They need to win every game they can. And since then, they've had great success, and it feels like the old days in terms of what you want them to do. And to me, that's important, is you don't want to ever you got to make decisions for the future if you're Sam Presti. You don't have to do that if you're the fans. You need to be invested in every game, and I think that's starting to occur.
And for us, it's fun because I think coming into the season, I was worried about, like, last season, we're spoiled with all these personalities and something really newsworthy was happening almost every night. It's like, wow, this is going to be changed. This is going to be weird. How are we going to keep people interested in a losing team? And now, A, not losing at this point. We'll see what happens as the season goes on, but technically a winning team. And B, they are doing some of the work for us. They are a really interesting team. A lot of dynamic personalities. Not that I expected the guys coming in to be boring, but new guys, new personalities, and the games are fun, which is what I was worried about.
The games are fun. It's a terrible team for the sake of deadlines.
Oh, they're so stressful.
Tonight, thank you, Sunday, for 6 o'clock starts. But I think another thing that goes into it, and so many people just seem to be saying they have fun watching this team, and it kind of reminds me of when the Thunder first came to town, and obviously college sports fandom has dominated the state, but people said that the atmosphere in this building was like a college-like atmosphere. Then you have superstars, and now it's kind of starting over with a lot of young guys, and I think it kind of builds into that college-type atmosphere again where people really like cheering for the young guys and a team that plays in a different style. It's fun.
It is fun. And now they get to break for Christmas. They don't get to play on Christmas. Not deemed one of the 10 marquee draws, but that's okay. Everybody gets Christmas off. Not crazy about Christmas games anyway. Yeah, did you have to cover was Christmas road game last year?
Christmas road game, and I was here.
Eric went on
Houston.
Always felt sorry for the people who had to cover the Thunder, either home or road on Christmas Day.
You tune in the Clippers. That'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
Clippers Lakers, right?
Yeah, Clippers Lakers Christmas Day. Have at it. Yeah, they do.
Joe the just Pelicans said the Pelicans play, don't they?
Yeah, that'll must see.
And
that one didn't work out for the NBA. Hurry back, Zion. That's all I have to say.
That seems like as good a place as any to.
It's a strange place, but might as well.
Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your family, your neighbors, your pets, your acquaintances. Happy holidays. And we will see you on Boxing Day.
Wow.
Thursday for game against Memphis.